A week later, the Vice President of the United States was in a short motorcade up Pennsylvania Avenue to the headquarters of the FBI. A large flag room on the first floor had been set up for a counterterrorism security group meeting, in which every department would present a briefing on plans for their role in Atlanta Olympic security. I sent the word to the departments that I would not be chairing the meeting that day. Gore would be. The level of attendance rose. In the car on the way to the J. Edgar Hoover building, I painted the picture for Gore one more time. "Here are some questions you might ask, innocently," I said, passing a list to him. "Then, after a while, you ought to look really mad." "I do mad well," Gore smiled. After the introductions and a few of the briefings, Gore slipped the questions out of his suit jacket. "Well, I know you all have briefings, but let me just ask a few questions that have been troubling me." The answers had not gotten any better. "Look, guys," the vice president said, "I know General Shelton over there could probably personally scare away most terrorists, but we can't put Hugh on every corner. We need a better plan than this." Turning to me on his right, Gore handed me all the authority I needed. "Dick, I'm going to ask you to pull all that together. Use whatever resources these agencies have that are needed. Anybody got any problems with that?" We were off to the races. By May, we had a plan to move several thousand federal personnel and their equipment into facilities in and around Atlanta, at a cost that ran into scores of millions of dollars. Yet, much to our chagrin, we failed to stop a lone bomber from striking at the Olympics. I had heard a rumor that FBI had someone in custody and called a friend at the Bureau's command center. "I got a guy, all right. Louis Free is on the phone now, telling Atlanta what questions to ask him. Free thinks it's him." His tone suggested there was more to it. I asked, "So what do you think?" "Atlanta doesn't like the guy for the bomb. He's a rent-a-cop who was at the scene. But don't say we don't know who did it, because Louis has decided." The rent-a-cop was named Richard Jewell. After his life was ruined by the negative publicity of the detention and media leaks by the FBI, Jewell was released. The real bomber turned out to be Eric Rudolph, who went on to commit several other acts of terrorism. Rudolph was arrested by local police in 2003.